It is good to see everybody here today. I'll echo what Glenn said earlier. It's always nice on a holiday weekend when a lot of our members are traveling. It's good to see visitors here. We're very happy to have you, that you could lend your voices to us for the day while a number of our members are gone. And we do hope that if you've moved to the area, you're thinking of moving to the area, or if you do live in this area and you're looking for a congregation with which to place membership, then we certainly hope that you'll feel welcome here. If you'd like to study the Bible with us, if you'd like to dig in a little bit deeper and to some of the things that we've considered in our Bible class and in our lesson this morning, then we're happy to sit down and have that conversation with you and present to you the gospel, which is simply the good news that salvation is offered freely to you. Now, I was asked recently by a church member about the Sabbath day. And of course, without being contentious, this church member was simply curious, why is it that we worship God on Sunday and not Saturday? Why is it that of all the Ten Commandments, and we certainly keep all the other Ten Commandments, at least as that person asked me and considered it, why is it that of all the Ten Commandments that the Sabbath keeping appears to be the only one of the Ten Commandments that we're not doing? So let's spend some time this morning considering what it means to worship on the Lord's Day, what Sunday really means for us, and if Sunday is supposed to be some kind of a Christian version of the Sabbath day. Put another way, somebody might wonder, if God kept the Sabbath, and the Israelites kept the Sabbath, and then Jesus kept the Sabbath, well then how come Christians worship on Sunday? Why are we the ones who seem to be the break in the pattern? Because, again, God kept the Sabbath when he created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day and therefore gave to us a model or a pattern to keep. The Israelites obviously kept the Sabbath day because it was a part of their law. And Jesus kept the Sabbath day. In Matthew chapter 12, he even calls himself Lord of the Sabbath. So why don't we keep the Sabbath day? Some have assumed that man's first model for a day of worship is, in fact, found in God resting on the seventh day. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and notice what is said here of God after creation. In Genesis chapter 2, and let's notice verses 1 through 3 if you'd like to follow along. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, some assume that based on this verse and the fact that the Sabbath is brought up later on, that the people of God, whoever they were, whether it was Adam and Seth and Noah and Abraham, that the people of God also kept the Sabbath day before the law was given at Mount Sinai. And yet, what kind of a cessation are we talking about here? Are we talking about a model that God is giving to mankind from the very beginning, and again, that the people of God followed from Adam and Seth to Noah to Abraham? Or are we talking about a specific kind of cessation? That's actually what the word Sabbath means, by the way, in the Hebrew. Is a cessation from activity, a ceasing of doing things. And I believe that within the context of Genesis chapter 2, that God is not giving mankind a model for Sabbath keeping from the day of creation. Rather, Genesis chapter 2 is simply explaining that that was how God ceased from his creative labors. After all, notice in John chapter 5. Look what Jesus has to say here about the activities of God in John chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Some people look at the model of the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2 and say that, well, clearly then God is in the seventh day. God is resting from his labors. And yet, look what it says in John chapter 5 and verse 16. Now, for this reason, he went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath day. But in verse 17, he answered them, and said, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Isn't it interesting then that if the seventh day from Genesis chapter 2 is somehow representative of God resting after his creation work, then that's it. Here's Jesus coming in and saying, well, actually, God has been working ever since then. God has been working. God is doing things. So what resting are we talking about? What interruption or a cessation of activity are we really talking about? Is it that God stopped doing things on the Sabbath day and that God rested as the Israelites rested? Didn't pick up a stick of wood, didn't start a fire, didn't prepare food? Or is it simply saying in Genesis chapter 2 that the seventh day was God ceasing from his creative labor? And I think that's more what we're talking about. It cannot be overemphasized then that from Genesis chapter 2 to the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, there are 2,500 years of absolute silence when it comes to Sabbath keeping. Not Adam, not Seth, not Noah, not Abraham, not a single one of them is ever shown keeping the Sabbath. It's absolute silence in the Bible for 2,500 years. No instruction, no commandments, and no Sabbath keeping. I don't believe then that Genesis chapter 2 is supposed to be the ultimate model for all eternity, for all man, in every covenant to worship God. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16 and verse 23 is actually our first introduction to the Sabbath day after Genesis chapter 2. And notice in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23. So he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance." And again, in the Hebrew, the Sabbath simply means a cessation, inactivity. Tomorrow is a cessation observance, a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. The Israelites then were completely unfamiliar with the practice. They were not keeping the Sabbath before the law was given. Until Exodus chapter 16, the Israelites were not practicing the Sabbath. Nehemiah chapter 9. In recalling this, notice in the book of Nehemiah, I know this seems like an odd reference. What are we doing going to the book of Nehemiah for a reference about the Sabbath day? But notice as he's going back and explaining their history to them in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13. "Then thou didst come down on Mount Sinai." So obviously we're in that context of Mount Sinai here, that part of their history. "And it speak with them from heaven. Thou didst give them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. So thou didst make known to them thy holy Sabbath." Until Mount Sinai, they didn't know what the Sabbath even was. They weren't keeping the Sabbath. They were not aware of the Sabbath. The Israelites were not Sabbath keepers until the law was given at Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 20. Let's go back to the law here. Notice another passage here. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day," he says, "in the midst of the Ten Commandments, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male, your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy." Now again, maybe a modern day Sabbatarian like a Seventh-day Adventist might point to that and say, see, clearly he's going back to the book of Genesis saying that's the model for obeying the Sabbath day. And we today have to look back at that original model for obeying the Sabbath day. As God rested on the seventh day, so shall we rest on the seventh day. And of course, I'll admit that the connection is made between their Sabbath keeping and the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2, but it is only symbolic. Remember that the book of Genesis was written by Moses for the Israelites in the wilderness. That the book of Genesis is not just a corrective test for misconceptions that they had living in Egypt as slaves all those years, but it was also a text that gave them some context and some background for the laws that God gave them. They were not keeping the Sabbath until Mount Sinai. But when Mount Sinai came and the law was given, Moses wrote the book of Genesis as well as the law to give them some background, an explanation. You are going to start keeping the Sabbath day. You are going to rest on the Sabbath day just as God rested on his seventh day from his creative labors. And a great practical application here. Because I know you're waiting for it. We're reading a lot of verses out of Exodus, and you're waiting for the practical application. Good practical application. We learn a lesson that God is not above purposeful inactivity. That even God himself, though God does not get tired or exhausted as human beings would consider tired or exhausted physically speaking, though God does not get tired, God did use the seventh day as a day of inactivity. As far as the creative activities go from those first 6 days, he ceased from his creative activity and stopped creating things. So the seventh day was a day where nothing new was created by God. And God believed there was a purpose there. God believed there was a point to it. And then God prescribed to the Israelites a similar day of inactivity. A day where they put other people first, not themselves. As Isaiah chapter 58 clarifies, in Isaiah 58 verse 13, you notice that what the prophet says there. By the word of God, he says, the Sabbath was not about just not doing anything. The Sabbath was about ceasing from your own labors. Ceasing from your own work. So that you could be a blessing to other people and be a blessing to God. That was the whole point. And God sees that there is a purpose to intentional, purposeful, useful inactivity. I think maybe a modern day application would be this. When you find out that somebody from the congregation has a physical need of some kind, maybe they need work done on their home, work done in the yard, help loading a moving truck or something like that, and you call your boss and you say, listen, I need to take a personal day. I'm going to take a personal day so that I can take a day off from my own labors, from my own work, from serving my own bank account and serving my own body and serving my own family. And I'm going to take a day off so that I can go serve somebody else. In that sense, you're keeping a Sabbath day, ceasing from your own labors and working for somebody else. What's the point then of the Sabbath day? Were the Israelites just expected to keep the Sabbath day holy without any explanation or any practical understanding of it? There was a reason why they kept the Sabbath day, and God does explain this. Go to Exodus 31. Exodus chapter 31, beginning in verse 17. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he explains the Sabbath day, the purpose of the Sabbath day. Then, beginning in verse 13. As for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. He goes on to say in verse 17, it is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. I guess one thing we can ask then is, who was supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy? You and me? What was the point of the Sabbath day? The point of the Sabbath day was so that the Israelites could have a connection to God. It was a sign between them and God, a relationship, part of their covenant with each other. As God rested from his labors on the seventh day, so shall his people, the Israelites, rest from their labors on the seventh day. This did not apply to Gentiles. This did not apply to those who are not members of the Israelite nation. We're not Israelites. We are Gentiles. That was a sign between God and the Israelites, not a sign between us and others. Of course, somebody might come in and say, well, what about Jesus keeping the Sabbath day? Because you have all these examples in the Bible where it says that Jesus kept the Sabbath day. And I'll agree with you. After all, what does it say in Matthew chapter 5? In the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is explaining His relationship to the law, he says in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 17, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I came not to abolish, but to fulfill." And he goes on to say that not a single word from the law will pass away until all is accomplished. Jesus kept the law, then. Because Jesus was a man, according to Galatians 4 and verse 4, he was a man who was born of woman, born under the law. And because he was a Jewish individual, born under the law by Jewish parents, and because he made it very clear in Matthew 5, explicitly clear, that his purpose was not to come in during his earthly ministry and destroy every aspect of the law, but to fulfill, to keep, to bring the law to a conclusion, then clearly Jesus kept the Sabbath. But he knew how to keep the Sabbath better than anybody else. That's where we come in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples are walking along the road and they become hungry. So they see some grain growing on the side of the road and they take some of that grain and they begin crushing it in their hands like that. Now when Jesus' detractors saw that, they accused Jesus and his disciples of breaking the Sabbath day because they were, in essence, working. Laboring on the Sabbath day. Jesus goes on to explain to them that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Basically telling them, I think in modern vernacular, if anybody knows how to keep the Sabbath the right way, it's me. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Don't tell me whether I'm breaking the Sabbath or keeping the Sabbath. He asked them later on, "So tell me, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day?" And they weren't willing to answer him, of course. And he proves to them that it is, in fact, lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, which is where Isaiah 58, verse 13, really comes in and clarifies that the point of the Sabbath was not for everyone to just sit on their couch all day long and do nothing. The point of the Sabbath was to stop doing your work and devote a day to God and other people. So that if your donkey or even your child falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, according to Jesus, it is lawful to do the right thing and to do good on the Sabbath day, to rescue your donkey, to rescue your child, to do good to your fellow man, to serve God in some capacity. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So yes, he kept the Sabbath because that was the covenant under which he was born, born under the law. But he also had the authority to abolish the Sabbath, which is when the apostles come in the book of Acts. Somebody might wonder, well, weren't the apostles keeping the book, keeping the Sabbath day? Wasn't Paul keeping the Sabbath day? And does his example then prove that we must keep the Sabbath as well? Well, it's interesting. Paul does keep the Sabbath day. And I would think, by inference, that the other apostles kept the Sabbath as well. But when you get to Acts chapter 18, something changes. Here in Acts chapter 18, good old Paul, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Benjamite, someone trained to be a Pharisee who knew the law, good old Paul, in Acts chapter 18, decides to stop keeping the Sabbath day. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse 4. "He was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade the Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ." And in verse 6, "When they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I shall go to the Gentiles.' And he departed from there and went away." In the book of Acts, the Sabbath is mentioned 8 times before Acts chapter 18. You know how many times it's mentioned after Acts chapter 18? 0. The only other time in the New Testament that the Sabbath is mentioned after Acts chapter 18, the only 2 times are in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, within the context of saying that the Sabbath is something that we shouldn't be keeping anyway, that the law is done away with, those decrees that were set against us, that brought death to us, they've been nailed to the cross, totally done away with, and that now nobody is to be your judge regarding a Sabbath day. And the only other mention then is in Hebrews chapter 4, where it uses the Sabbath symbolically, saying the Sabbath is a rest that nobody has entered yet, and that we must strive to enter that rest. Hebrews chapter 4 is not talking about Saturday. Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about heaven. Before Acts 18, yes, the apostles were keeping the Sabbath day. But why? Clearly, they were not keeping the Sabbath day because they believed they were still under the law. They were keeping the Sabbath day because they knew it was an opportunity to teach the gospel to potentially receptive ears. So here's the real question. Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath day? I don't need a show of hands or anything because I have a feeling every one of you probably would raise your hand. But how many of you, thinking back in your own language or in the language of other believers, how many of you have heard the term that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath day? And we kind of throw that term around. If we go to church, we're keeping the Sabbath day, aren't we? We're keeping the Sabbath holy. People who believe that we're still under the old law today, at least as far as the Ten Commandments go, that's how they kind of rationalize the whole keep the Sabbath holy thing and the Ten Commandments. They say, well, yeah, we keep the Ten Commandments, obviously, and when we keep the Sabbath day holy in the sense that we worship on Sunday. But that's usually the best explanation that can be offered. There's not a whole lot of evidence that the Bible offers that Sunday is somehow or another the Christian Sabbath day. I would say even that calling the Lord's Day the Sabbath in any way is anathema. It's a troubling term, actually, when it comes to the Lord's Day. Go to Galatians chapter 3. And notice the attitude that Paul has here regarding Sabbaths or special and holy days. In Galatians 3, beginning in verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Go to chapter 4 now and pick up in verse 8. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are not God. But now that you have come to know God, or rather, to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. And remember, what's the book of Galatians talking about? The book of Galatians is talking about former Jews converted to Christianity who are now Judaizing and believing that they ought to go back to the law. That's what Galatians is talking about. So when he says that you're observing days and months and seasons and years, he's saying you're trying to bring back the Jewish customs, the Sabbath day, the festival days, the calendar days. You're bringing those things back. You're trying to be enslaved all over again. Romans says the same thing in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6 specifically says, one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. Now he goes on to say, back in chapter 12 and verse 1 of Romans, Romans 12 and verse 1, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Think of it this way. We do not keep the Sabbath day anymore because we're not under the law. We prove that from Galatians 3 and Galatians 4. Nobody's supposed to be your judge regarding certain days, Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. So anybody who comes in and says you have to keep the Sabbath day in order to be right with God is violating Romans chapter 14. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 makes it very, very clear that when it comes to worship, your life is worship. Your whole life is worship. The life that you give, the service that you offer is your spiritual sacrifice. It is your worship. Your life is worship. But let's be careful. The Sabbath was a day of inactivity, and it was given to a physical nation that had a covenant relationship with God. It is included in a law that, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, is obsolete and being done away with. There is no parallel between the Sabbath and Sunday. They're not the same thing. They're not the same concept. They're not even in the same chapter. They're not even in the same neighborhood. They're not in the same country. They're not the same thing. Christian worship is any time and any place. Again, Romans 12 and verse 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 describes the Christians there worshiping in Acts chapter 1. Then they worshiped continually, devoting themselves. In Acts chapter 2, on the day or after the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through verse 47. That day by day they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to service to one another, breaking bread from house to house. To them, worship and service was not a Sabbath thing, it was an everyday thing. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't specific things that we're asked by example to do on Sunday. I'm not saying that we're not by example commanded to keep certain things. We've done those things today as we're commanded by example to do. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, for example, we see by example that the Christians gathered together on the first day of the week so that they could worship and break bread with one another. We know from other passages, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that they did other things together as well, like taking up a collection for the needy saints. And we are commanded to do those things. And Sunday is the day that we're commanded by example to do those things. But if you think that Sunday is the singular day of worship, that it has any parallel to the singular Sabbath day, then you don't even understand what Christian worship is. We're commanded to do things on Sundays, and we do those things because we're commanded to do them by example. But our worship is not confined to a place. And our worship is not confined to a single day. The Sabbath was a day of rest, and here's where the real differences come in. If you think Sunday is the Christian Sabbath day, then you probably prefer inactivity over service and hard work. The Sabbath was a day of rest, but Sunday is the day of Christ's resurrection. The Gospels all confirm this. John, Luke, Matthew, they all say that on the first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath day, that very morning Jesus was raised from the dead, and disciples found that grave empty. So where the Sabbath is a day of resting, Sunday is a day of activity and resurrection. We do not sit down on Sundays. Literally, I understand we're sitting down right now. We don't sit and rest on Sundays. We're resurrected on Sundays. We're working on Sundays. It's a day of activity, not a day to be spent in the grave. The Sabbath corresponds to the end of God's creative activity, where God rested from creation on the seventh day, and so the Israelites rested on the Sabbath day. Sunday, the first day of the week, corresponds to the beginning of God's creative activity. There's nothing more different than the seventh day, the day of rest, and the first day, the day of the beginning. The creative force. The first day of the week and the seventh day of the week are as different as 2 days of the week can possibly be. The first day of the week corresponds to new things, created things. You see all the passages on the screen. We don't have time to look at them precisely, but in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 and Ephesians 4 and verse 24, you're described as a new creature, created anew. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 talks about being new. New things have come. We're new. Nothing says Christian quite like the first day. Nothing says Christian quite like the creation. By example, like we mentioned, Christians are supposed to worship with certain activities. We worship on Sundays in this capacity because today is the day our Lord was raised. We celebrate, we remember, and we honor the day of our Lord's death, but we also remember and celebrate the day of His resurrection, which is today. Not only that, but history also gives us some example as well. From the very beginning, Christians worshipped on Sundays. And from the very beginning, Christians worshipped, considered Sunday to be the day of congregational worship, not the Sabbath day. Justin Martyr, who lived just a few years after the last apostle, said, "Sunday is the day which we hold our common assembly because it is the first day of the week. And Jesus, our Savior, on the same day rose from the dead." And what can be more fitting than that? If you're worshiping only on Saturday, if you believe that the Lord's Supper should be offered on Saturday, that you believe that the Christian day of worship is the Sabbath day, you're not worshiping as the first Christians worshiped. You're not worshiping as His very first disciples worshiped. And you're not honoring and respecting and remembering His resurrection as the first disciples and Christians remembered His resurrection. So we'll bring our lesson to a close simply by saying that Sunday is not the Sabbath day, it is the Lord's day. Now, I know that this lesson was a little bit more complicated maybe than we like to go in a typical lesson, but I have one great big last practical application. And here's the whole reason for the last 30 minutes. You're thinking, 30 minutes to get to one point? Yes. 30 minutes to get to one point. If by tradition or common language you have always considered Sunday to be the Christian Sabbath day, I want you to change that thinking right now. I want you to change that thinking. Sabbath means rest. Sabbath means ceasing. Sabbath means stopping. Sunday is not the day of stopping. It is not the day of resting. It is not the day of ceasing. In a couple weeks, we're going to be rearranging our worship to where we're not going to have a Sunday night worship. It's going to be combined with Sunday morning. Part of the reason our elders have decided to do that is to open up the rest of Sunday, not for our own labors, our own fancy, our own preferences, but so that Sunday can be a day of activity. So that you can spend Sunday worshiping in the morning, remembering our Lord's resurrection, as we're commanded to do by example, but then to spend the rest of your day not in a Sabbath rest, sitting on the couch and napping and watching football, but so that you can spend the rest of your Sunday doing what Sunday was meant to be, day of service. The Lord's day. It is the Lord's day to be spent in His work, to be spent as He would want you to spend it. To visit our widows and our shut-ins, to see people who are in the hospital or homebound, to have Bible studies with each other and with unbelievers, to have singings in our homes, to be out in the community being lights, being the salt of the earth. If you still think that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath day, change that thinking now. Because you've got an amazing opportunity now where half of the Lord's day is now opened up to you to spend it as God would have you spend it. To be Christians and workers, not Sabbath keepers. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to be. To be saved, you must be a Christian. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus Himself said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." And we find out from other passages, Romans chapter 6, for example, Galatians chapter 3, and Mark 16, verse 16, that it is through belief and baptism, that it is by obeying what Jesus has decreed, that we are saved. So if you know that you must obey that call now, then please, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.